Good morning. It's always an honor and a privilege to stand before the Greenbrier Church of Christ and to talk about God's purpose for our lives. I'd like to welcome those who are back with us after their travels. The Fishers are back. The Elliots are back. The Leonards finally found their way back. Starting to wonder that they didn't know how to get back here. They've been gone so long. And anyone who's visiting with us, I need to tell you that I'm not the normal anything, but I'm not the regular preacher. So if you came to hear a fantastic lesson, you'll need to come back next week as well. Also like to greet those who are joining us online today. Special shout out to those who are regularly with us online, but today a special shout out to the Hutchins family, Steve and his wife Kaylee and their son Emmett and Hudson. Now on to God's Word. Memories are an amazing thing. Remarkable. The fact that our brain has all of these memories just captured in there. Sometimes we bring them out intentionally when we want to, and then sometimes we get memories back that we don't want. A memory can be triggered by a smell. It can be triggered by a song. It can be triggered by a word or maybe even a spot in the road. Some of these memories are good. Some of these memories are bad. But there are memories that we all have. Experts have said there's even such thing as false memories. And we have these memories in our mind, and the more detail that we can recall is usually based on the importance of the events surrounding those memories. Sometimes I can't tell you what I had for lunch yesterday. It must not have been that memorable. Sorry, honey. But it just happens. You just can't remember those things. But if there was a specific meal and a specific event, maybe a birthday or a Thanksgiving or something like that, it's much easier to recall those memories because the importance of the events that surrounded those things. I know last week we had some birthdays in the congregation. Those are always memorable. There's usually pictures taken. We're counting candles. We're blowing them out. We're making wishes. Last week in our house, we had three birthdays. On August 21st was Joshua's birthday. Joshua is Elisa's son who died at 8 months. Not happy memories. But many of us are familiar with those type of memories. The 22nd is our daughter Lauren's birthday. Reached out to her, wished her happy birthday, and I said, you know, I didn't have to get a Facebook reminder to know it was your birthday. Because that's how we remember people's birthdays now. You get some electronic device that goes, ding, it's your wife's birthday, or ding, it's your anniversary, just to keep us men out of trouble. The 22nd was my daughter-in-law's birthday. Now, I had to get a Facebook reminder. I'm hoping she's not watching this morning. She's only been in our life 7 or 8 years, where Lauren and Joshua had been in our lives a much longer time. Someday I will remember Beth's birthday without having to have a reminder from Facebook. But the problem is we're forgetful people. We often forget the things that are important. We forget the things that we should remember. As Christians, as God's people, we're called to remember things very often. There are 242 times in the scriptures we're told to remember or to have remembrance. That's 191 times in the Old Testament, 51 different times in the New Testament. Remember the Lord your God is a very common phrase, where we're told to remember who God is and that he's our Lord. You see here in Nehemiah 4:14, it says, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers. The activities that were going on here were they were rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem, and they realized their enemies weren't happy about it, and they were worried that their enemies would attack them while they had their back to the wilderness, and they were working on rebuilding the wall. And the message from God was, I'm in charge. Do not fear your enemies and focus on the task at hand. Another common one that's found in Scripture is remember the commands. In Numbers 15:40, this is a direct message from Moses, or from God to Moses, and from Moses to the people of God, a message that we still need reminded of today. Remember to do my commands and be holy to your God. A timely message even today, even though thousands of years have passed, that we need to remember the commands. Our next common phrase when pointing out the things that God's people were supposed to remember is forget not. Forget not is mentioned many times in Psalm 119:16. It says, I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. The psalmist reminds us to keep God's commands, but in order for us to keep God's commands, we must know God's commands. Often we try to keep God happy, but we do it our way instead of following the way that he's told us to do. So today, as Christians, we assemble to hear a portion of God's word. And what does God ask us to remember today? One of the first things he asks us to do is our role to teach our children. In Psalm 78, verses 5 through 7, which God commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generations to come may know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell their children, and that they shall not put their confidence, or that they should put their confidence in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. By the way, this applies to grandparents as well. There are times in the scripture where it tells us that the responsibility to teach the generations that come after us doesn't end when your days of parenting end. So don't think I'm only speaking to the parents or the parents-to-be. Our next slide has one of my favorite verses on it. This is a spot in Deuteronomy when God is telling the people, hey, if you follow me and you follow my ways, you will prosper. But if you do not follow me, you will fail. And then he goes on to say, hear, O Israel, and we've turned this into a song that we sing, telling them that they should love God with all their heart, soul, and strength. And then we have verse 6 and 7. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. These words that we're told to love God with all our heart, soul, and strength, he's saying, you need to do this when you're sitting down, and when you're standing up, and when you're walking, and when you're talking. This is basically his way of saying, everywhere you go, in every situation you find yourself, is an opportunity to teach the young ones about God. The next list on the list of what should we remember today is to remember those who were less fortunate. Jesus did this in the first century, and we're instructed to do it today. They only ask us to remember the poor, the very thing I also was eager to do. My recent travels have taught me that everywhere you go, there's people who are homeless, people who are less fortunate, people who are in need. Often as Christians, we think putting money in the plate absolves our responsibility to take care of those around us who are in need. I would encourage us to open our eyes and look for more opportunities to help people that are less fortunate than us. Next on our list of what should we remember today is our brothers and sisters in prayer. Prayer is an important part, or should be an important part, of every Christian's life. In 2 Timothy, first chapter, verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way of my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in prayer, both day and night. You know, prayer is interesting. It's probably one of the easiest things we can do, and probably one of the things that I neglect the most Often when someone is sick or struggling, I'll go to them and say, hey, I'll pray for you. But don't think of that as an easy out. And don't think of that as the least you can do. There is nothing more important than taking a knee and going before your Heavenly Father and lifting up someone else's name and the struggles that they're dealing with. If you tell someone you'll pray for them, make sure that you do. Because there's no higher honor than to go before the God on behalf of someone else. What else do we remember today? We remember loving our family and showing hospitality. In 1 Peter 4, verses 8 and 9, and above all things, have fervent love for one for another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. How do we love one another? Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Interesting that God knew that we would be hospitable, but sometimes we would grumble. We have a congregation here that has some very hospitable people. People who invite others over to their homes or out to dinner or to different events on a regular basis. Being hospitable is so important for our Christian faith and the fellowship that we share one with another. Opportunity to get to know someone on a much closer level. Something that we're tasked to do. I know we're told to love our enemies and pray for our enemies, but first we must love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And how do we do that? One is by being hospitable. What else do we remember today? We remember to encourage one another. Glenn touched on this in his class today. It said that you must be at peace with someone before you can encourage them. That only makes sense. If I'm at war with you, I'm not going to reach out and encourage you to do great things. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:11-12, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you. This congregation is known for a lot of things. We're known for our giving, we're known for our missions, we're known for being friendly, but I would submit to you we're known as being hardworking. We have people who are working really hard all the time behind the scenes. Encourage those people. They get tired. Encourage them. Tell them you're thankful for what they're doing. Or maybe there's somebody who isn't working hard behind the scenes and maybe used to work hard behind the scenes. Maybe they need some encouragement too. Or maybe there's someone that doesn't come out as often as they could or as often as they used to. They also could use some encouragement. We can be encouragers. We can be the example of Barnabas, and we can encourage those who are around us. What else must we remember today? We must remember to preach the Word of God. Now, 2 Timothy says, chapter 2, verse 4, preach the Word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Also in 2 Timothy 2, it tells us that we should study God's Word. Only through study of God's Word can we be prepared. If you don't know God's Word, you cannot be prepared to share it with the people who are around you. But we all know there's two types of sermons. There are the sermons that you hear from the pulpit, and then there's the sermons that you see in the lives of the Christians who you know. Not to diminish the words of God that are spoken from this space, but often the way that you live your life, the sermon that you present, can be more impactful. Why is it important that we preach the good news of Christ Jesus? Why is it important that Glenn stands here weekly and talks to us about God's Word? Why is it that when we leave this place, we must live our lives in a way that brings glory and honor to God? Ephesians 2:12 tells us, remember that at one time you were separated from Christ. If it wasn't for people who filled the pulpit, or not for people who spoke to you about Christ Jesus outside of these places of worship, none of us would have heard about Christ Jesus. None of us could have come in touch with the redemptive power of his blood. Yet someone spoke to us about it. Last on my list of what do we remember today? We remember the Lord's death until he comes. It's the first day of the week. Every first day of the week, following the example of the New Testament, the first century church, and the Holy Scriptures, we assemble to commemorate the death of our Savior. A verse we often read is 1 Corinthians 11. In the same way, he took the cup, also after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." If I were to be totally honest with you, I struggle with this. One of the reasons Elisa and I sit so close to the front, because I'm easily distracted. My mind wanders. It's often hard to focus on why we're here, why we've assembled. Especially when the building gets quiet and we start to focus on commemorating the death of our Savior. That's when memories can be a problem. Because I stop remembering what Christ has done and remembering how good Elisa's pot roast is. Or I remember that there's a ball game on TV that I want to watch. Or I remember there are other duties that have clouded my mind. These next two slides aren't from Scripture, but they've helped me as I try to focus on God's Word. There are different kinds of memories. There are implicit memories and explicit memories. Implicit memories are unconscious retention of information. Sometimes information is unconsciously entered through our memory, affects our thoughts and our behavior, even though the event or the memory of that event remains unknown. A perfect example of this is Labor Day. I thought it was tomorrow. I was all excited about a long weekend. I just don't know much about Labor Day. To me, it was always, you know, three-day weekend, barbecue, and the last day that Austin Ford could wear his white pants. Sorry, man. But we also have explicit memories. Explicit memories are memories that are conscious, intentional, remembering of both information and facts. Our Social Security is a good example of this. We know that that's real, and we know that's important, and we know there are times in our life we're called upon to give this true and accurate fact. If you give an incorrect Social Security number, you could be in a world of hurt. But memories also come in two different forms, declarative and procedural. And again, this has helped me as I struggle as a Christian to focus on the death of our Savior. Declarative memory is a recall of factual events such as dates and words and faces and events. Declarative memories are usually considered explicit because they involve conscious, intentional remembering. Examples of this would be the capital of Argentina, or the rules of football, or when Arkansas begins their football season next week. These are declarative because they're actual facts that we can recall. We also have procedural memory, and this is the recall of how-to things like swimming or riding a bike. This is often referred to as just going through the motion. Procedural memory is considered implicit because we don't consciously think about these things, we just go through the motions. As I recall, or as I mentioned, that's kind of like riding a bike. They say you don't ever forget how to ride a bike. So how do we use this to remember the Lord? Well, we definitely need to make sure that if we're looking at the Lord's Supper and the death of our Savior, that we use explicit memories. The memory that Jesus was sinless, Jesus was betrayed, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper in the upper room, Jesus was arrested, he was tried, and he was beaten. These are the kind of memories that we need. But we also need to not go through the motions. And because it's the first day of the week, we put on our sport coat and our Sunday best shoes. But we remember that Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb, and that he raised on the third day. And because he died for us and shed his blood for us, we have hope of life eternal. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he told us that he's gone to prepare a way for us. The problem with this, it's a lot easier said than done. My mind wanders, and it's often hard to bring the memories back that I need to have. I would encourage you to study God's Word, focus on the story of the crucifixion. Encourage you to pray to God that he clears our minds of the thoughts of this world that aren't very important, especially when it comes to spiritual matters. I'd like to share a few final memories about remembering the Lord. June 29th, 1985, I was baptized. I remember that feeling. Coming up out of the water, knowing that my sins were forgiven. I hope that you all have those same memories. I pray that if you're here and you don't have that memory, that you make that memory. I also pray that if you're here today and you've wandered away and you've left that feeling of salvation and that clean start, it is available. For once you put Christ on in baptism, that clean new feeling is available. It's just prayer and repentance away. Rod has chosen an invitation song for us to sing. It's an opportunity for us to reflect on where we are and where we should be. I pray that you have the memory of salvation. And I pray that if you don't, that you will take the necessary steps to acquire it. I also pray that if you've fallen away from your first love and you need to recommit yourself to the Lord, whether it's in a public or private way, that you will make that be done. Because the memories we have about Christ impact the way we live our lives, and in many ways determine what our final home will be. If you are subject this morning to the gospel call, pray that you take the necessary action as we stand and sing.